Amen. Second Corinthians. I'm excited for two reasons. I'm excited because I feel real good today. I really do. And I'm excited for what I'm preaching today. I'm more excited about that, but I'm glad I feel good to do it. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter number 4. If you're there, say amen. And some great verses. What I got to do with myself, I've got to contain myself not to get ahead of myself. I want to get ahead of myself, start preaching down to the last part, but I can't do that. I got to build a porch first. But let's look at this passage of Scripture. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, thank God for this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now notice this passage. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. There was a day in our life it was hid from us. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Here's where I'm going. I want you to notice this passage. For God, who hath commanded the light, whoo, glory, to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's where I'm preaching from today. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now let me speak to everyone that's hurting. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are so many people that go through life feeling that they are unimportant, unnecessary, unnoticed, unproductive, unsuccessful. They feel like life really doesn't have any meaning. You go ahead and pray, sister. I'll preach and you pray. And in this section of 2 Corinthians, Paul is going to reveal something that's phenomenal, that is powerful, that goes beyond anything that I can ever think of. He clarifies the fact and speaks about the fact that all we are earthen vessels or clay pots. That's actually what it's referring to there. Actually cracked, chipped clay pots. That's all we are. Before you think much of yourself, you're not really much. All you are is an earthen clay pot that's not got any goodness at all about it. But when you receive Christ, when you receive Christ, God's treasure comes down and abides in your clay pot. I thought I'd just preach on this morning. Gospel treasure in clay pots. And by the way, I read a story. I don't know if... And by the way, that word earthen vessel means clay pots. It comes from a Greek word, ostrika, where we get our word pottery or clay pottery. That's all we were. But by the way, when you get saved, there's something special in you. I remember a story I want to share with you. I read this story and I was just shocked. There's a man named Craig Randall. He drove a garbage truck for a living. Craig Randall in Peabody, Massachusetts. And in his garbage truck, he had all kinds of junk got in there. And he saw a Wendy's cup back in 1995. And I remember when they did those giveaways back there in 1995. I had little stickers on them. Well, the week before, he got him a chicken sandwich from a sticker. So he decided, he thought he might be able to get a French fry or maybe a Coke. So he got in that trash, in that mess, and pulled out that Wendy's cup, pulled the label off, and within that trash, and within that junk, that sticker said, $200,000. Ladies and gentlemen, we got more than that in our body today. When we got saved and Christ came down into this clay pot, when Christ came and placed his treasure in our clay pot, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hey, we got access to the throne. We can go to the throne of grace and mercy and find grace and mercy in the time of need. Will you allow me? Let me do an exposition of these verses, and I'll take you down to where I want you to go on the fourth one. But let's do a little exposition. Number one, I see it in verse number one, an incomparable ministry. See, in chapter 3, it talked about the old covenant. The old covenant was the law. And I want to say this, and I'm not going to mix my message with anybody, and I don't really care what some people think. The people in the Old Testament was not saved by the law. They were not saved by the law. The law could not save nobody. The law was the schoolmaster. By the way, the people in the tribulation period won't be saved by the law. The people in the millennial that get saved will not be saved by the law. No, they're saved by the grace of God. Somebody help me preach. But he talked about the old covenant of all the statutes, all the laws, all the commandments. But I want to tell you, we're not under an old covenant now. We have this ministry. What is this ministry? It's a new covenant. It's a covenant based upon the work of Jesus Christ. It's a covenant based upon what God does and not what we do. I want you to know something. The law says do, but grace says done. Whew, glory. And then not only do I see a stewardship acknowledgement, this ministry, but I see supernatural assistance. Somebody help me preach. Look what it says. We have received mercy. Woo! Have you ever got to the place you felt like quitting? Look at me. You ever got to the place you felt like, what's the use? Everybody's half crazy anyway. I might as well just join them. Jeremiah one time said, I'm going to quit. I'm not even going to ever mention his name anymore. But I'll tell you something happened to Jeremiah. The word of God came hot in his soul. Somebody help me preach. And he said over Lamentations, he said, this I recall in my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that I am not consumed. hallelujah, this morning that God deposited in the bank of heaven mercy for every one of us. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be fried in hell right now. We'd all be in hell right now. But we got mercy. Then I see separated actions in verse number 2. I say, if you ever get really saved, somebody help me preach. How many believe there's really a change? Somebody help me. Separated action. Look what he said. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness. Not handling the word of God deceitfully. I want you to know something. The quickest way to faith is to get in sin. But when you're saved, you ought not to be living in sin. You ought to be living for Christ. Somebody help me preach. I see a consecrated from heresy. He talked about the truth there. But by the manifestation of the truth, I want you to know something. What you say ought to line up with what this says. And how you act ought to line up with this. I want you, there's a lot of people, now listen to me, and there's a lot of people in our group, in our fundamental group, that have added stuff in my preaching. They've added legalism or extremism. Maybe I should use that word. Extremism. And said, if you're not extremist, if you're not like that, you're not saved. Somebody help me preach. That's heresy. Hey, we preach about the liberals that don't believe in Christ and not doing right. Hey, there's people in our group that act like a bunch of idiots. Good preaching. I know I'll probably make some newsletter this week, but that's good preaching anyhow. By the way, we've got the truth, and we need to live the truth, and we need to preach the truth. Then I committed honesty. He said, look what he said. But they have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not working in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. By the way, we need to live right. We don't need to be a hustler. We don't need to be a liar. There's a lot of people that says they're saved, but everything comes out of their mouth a lie. By the way, you tell one, you're going to tell another one to cover it up. That's good preaching anyhow. Then I say controlled humility. Whew, glory. Committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But then I want you to notice the second thing. And I'm hurried. I want to get to my message, actually. Verse number 3. But I see an interfering manipulator. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I want all y'all to know something. This bothers me as a preacher. There's a lot of times Christians get hard feelings toward each other. And angry with one another. Can I tell you something? We're not each other's enemy. As much as you think we are not. But we do have an enemy. And his name's the devil. And he has a covenant platform. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the worker of darkness. He rules, he reigns, and he runs. That ought to make every parent keep your children safe because of him. That ought to make every man treat your marriage properly because of him. Somebody help me, Brad. That ought to make every Christian try their hearts because of his wickedness and because of his trying to destroy us. Good preacher, remember? Then I see his conniving procedures. I'm going to tell you what he does to the sinner. He blinds them and he blocks them. Before I was saved, I was blind. Now, let me give you my interpretation of what Christians were before I got saved. I thought y'all was a bunch of Looney Tunes. I thought your music was stupid. I thought everything about you was stupid. I did, Wayne. I said, what's that? Look at them crazy people. I see, I was on the outside looking in. But see, now I'm on the inside looking out. Whoa! And we got something in us that's precious. But what the devil does, he tries to blind sinners, but then he tries to block the word. Somebody help me preach. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to slow down here. One of the biggest blinders and one of the biggest blockers is religion. I said it. The devil, hey, listen, he's an angel of light. And if he can, he'll block and blind you. And he uses religion. Now, there's two groups out there that claim to have predominance. Right, brother? Two groups, Brother Chad. First of all, the Armenians. Hello? They believe in work salvation. They believe you're baptized to be saved, join the church to be saved, do this to be saved, do that to be saved. By the way, the devil loves that kind of preaching. Because it's that kind of preaching that's sending people right straight to hell. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by goodness. You're not saved by baptism. You're saved by the grace of God. That's why so many people are lost. They think they got to do something to be saved. But ladies and gentlemen, the fact is you can't do anything. We've got a done salvation. Now we hit the other extreme. And the other extreme says there are only two extremes. And that's the Calvinist crowd. By the way, they're just as blind as the Armenian. Oh, yeah. Just as blind. They believe only the elect can be saved. What that means is, of all these people in this room, just some of y'all is the elect. And some of you are not. And you'll never know if you are or if you won't until you die. And then here's the fact. Here's what they believe. Well, you can know you're saved if you live a life of lordship or perseverance. That's false doctrine. They ain't nothing, no assurance at all. They don't believe in the eternal security of the believer, the preservation of the believer. They believe in perseverance. If you endure to the end, you'll make it. Then you're saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not dependent on myself to endure to it. I'm dependent on Christ. And anything else is a satanic blindness. They believe everything's determined. Well, it isn't determined. I tell you what determines you to go to heaven or hell is whether you place faith in Christ or not. Somebody help me preach. See, religion and riches, you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. That's what the devil uses to blind people. Now, I'm getting to my message. Some of you think, well, I wish you would hurry. Number three, notice the exposition in verse 5 and 6. An illuminating message. Listen. Now, Chad, they tell me, them Calvinists says that we can't be illuminated because they believe in total inability. Total inability is not in the Bible. Total depravity is in the Bible, but total inability is not in the Bible. Total inability means that you can't do nothing unless God, you're born again first, and then you trust Christ. No. You trust Christ and then you're born again. Amen. Satan blinds, But Christ reveals. How many believe? Thank God for the day when you were in darkness, when you were outside of God, when you were separated from God, when you were dead in your sin, that Christ revealed the truth to you in His Word. Amen. Illuminating. Look at verse 5-6. For we preach not ourselves. By the way, can I say this in the exposition? There's too much preaching about self today. There's too many people behind their pulpit that are what I call egomaniacs. It's all about them. They're gathering their following. Ladies and gentlemen, if you follow me, you follow me as I follow Christ. Somebody say amen. But see, there's a central person. Neither is there salvation in any other. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Politics won't save people. Good works won't save people. But there's only one way to be saved. That's through the message of Jesus. And through Calvary's performance. How many's glad for Calvary's performance? That He took your sin and bore your sin. Woo! And bore your sin. And then courageous preaching. I'll tell you what to get folks saved. It's courageous preaching.
Amen.
Now, they tell me you're not supposed to do this in preaching, but I'm going to do it anyhow, okay? I'm going to give you a gospel negative, which is positively true. Got it? You say, what is that? You cannot share the gospel with the wrong person. I don't think you got that. You can't share the gospel with the wrong person. I remember years ago, when I first started preaching, I had one of the craziest things that ever happened to me in my whole life. And I still can't believe it happened to me. At that time, I was living in Charleston before I came to Taze Valley. I got a call from Georges Creek. You know, how many know where that is? From Georges Creek. And there was a grandma that called me and said, would you come up and win my husband to the Lord? Because he's only got days to live and he wants to be saved. And I said, yeah. I said, how'd you get my name? They said, well, we called a church in Charleston, a Baptist church, a faithless church, one of those quote-unquote election churches, and asked them to come and win him to Christ. And here's what they said. They said, I'll come to see if he is one of God's elect. And I can take you to the church in Charleston. It's the number one Calvinistic church in Charleston. They have such a terrible influence. And I preached it. I hope y'all see it. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot share the gospel with the wrong person because God so loved the whole world. And He wills that every man comes to repentance. Good preaching, Reverend. Whew. Amen. Then the Christian position. We preach not ourselves. And our clear purpose. What is the purpose of the church and the Christian, this minister? That's getting people saved. Now here's the message. Finally there. Look at verse number 6 and 7. I'll finish. The imperative manifestation. Look what it says. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. An imperative manifestation. This is baffling to me. We're just, Roger Backus, we're just earthly, clayed, cracked, chipped vessels. That's all we are. We're earthen vessels. We're worldly. We were worldly. We were wicked. We were weak. We were worthless. Somebody help me preach. But thank God, somebody ought to get happy here. Thank God that God is using trash like us to carry His treasure. That big. I'm inadequate, but He's using junk trash to carry His treasure. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. He's not using animals. He's not using angels. He's not using objects. He's using us as earthly vessels. Then I want you to notice verse 6. I'm almost done. Woo! I see incredible power. For God, well, this is where I was, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness. How many remember this? Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See, I'm not an Armenian, nor am I a Calvinist, but I am a Biblicist. And I do believe in the sovereignty of God. Because see, it came through sovereign initiation. Somebody help me. Let me give you an analogy. Oh, this is good right here. Remember when God created the heaven and earth? How many remember? In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Listen to this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God said in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. There was the day that John Smith was sitting in Pinch Baptist Church, lost, blinded by the devil, on my way to hell. And I heard the gospel message. Amen. I heard faith, by the way, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And during that time of me hearing, here's what happened. As the Holy Spirit brooded over creation, the Holy Spirit took the word, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, and implanted that in me. And I, by faith, trusted what He does. Somebody shouted out, He shined in my pot, my cracked, chipped, trashy looking pot. He shined in, and the gospel made its way to me. Woo! And I received it, and he came into me, and I got the glory of God residing in me today. Somebody help me preach right there. I see a sovereign initiation, a shining input. Woo! Come on now. He shines in me. He didn't put Gabriel in me. He didn't put Michael in me. He put Jesus in me. But notice the inevitable process. Look at verse number 8. I'm closing. By the way, God has a way to make us all shine. You know what it's called? Trouble. Somebody help me. That's inevitable. Look at it. Look at it. We are troubled on every side. Now that word, we are troubled, we are. Or it means we're pressured. Any of y'all feel any pressure? Man, yeah, I mean, to live in the age that we're living in, it's pressure. But I want to tell you, we're squeezed, but we're not squashed. Woo! Hey, by the way, we're also perplexed. We're confused, but not confounded. To be confused means to be without resources. But ladies and gentlemen, we have this treasure in earthly vessels. How many's ever felt confused? Come on now. You can be confused, but you don't have to be confounded. We're persecuted. Or we're harassed. By the way, living a Christian life in this 21st century is unlike anything else. Because we're under persecution. Our kind of people, our kind of preaching is under a microscope. Amen. They hate us.
Right.
They hate us. Muhammad can go pray for somebody, or some Muslim can go pray. They ain't going to let no Baptist come pray.
Right.
We're hated. But you said, how are you going to make it? I am making it because I have his treasure in this clay pot. Woo! And then he said, we're plummeted. We're knocked down. But knocked out, not knocked out. I ain't going to lie to you. I ain't going to lie to you. Anybody here ever been knocked down? Come on. Just knocked out. Any of y'all ever play football?
Yeah.
I play football. And I never forget playing the old Dunbar Huskell. I was playing at that time. I don't know why they did this, but they made me a fullback. A 270-pound fullback. And I run through the line one day, and there's a big guy, bigger than me, busted me right there. Knocked me off my feet. I was gasping and said, I died. By the way, life, every once in a while, gives you a gut punch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just punches you where it hurts.
Yeah.
And the air comes out of you. Yeah. But aren't you glad somebody wave your hanky? You can go through all kind of trouble and you can be knocked down. But I'm thanking God, brother, that we are not knocked out because we have this treasure in earthly vessels. You ought to go out of this room today and say, "Woo! I got the treasure in earthly vessels. I'm just a pot of clay, but I got God, the glory of God in me." There's no excuse for us to live defeated when we have God living in us. Bow your head with me. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. I wonder how many this morning would say, "Preacher Smith, I know if I died today, I know I'll go to heaven because I've trusted by faith the Lord." Raise your hand if you know it. Come on, slip them up high. Thank you. How many right now, man, woman, boy, or girl, would say, "Preacher Smith, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. The devil's working on me. He's blinded me all these years. But I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven." If you're like that today and you're not sure you're saved, and you know you're not saved, man, woman, boy, girl, will you raise your hand right now and just say, "By that, pray for me. I want that light in me. I want that treasure in me. I want life worth living." Just slip your hand up. Slip it up. God bless that hand. Somebody else. I couldn't raise my hand, preacher. I'm lost. And you know why you're lost? Because you're blind and the devil's blocked the truth from you. But this morning you got the truth. Won't you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me"? Somebody else. How many Christians You're living defeated this morning. And you know, you got that treasure in your earthly vessel. You got the potential to live a victorious life, but you're not. How many Christians will be honest? You're not where you used to be for God. You'll just be honest. Raise your hand. Just say, but be honest. One time, be honest. God bless those hands. Stand with me. If God spoke to you, I hope He did. I hope you'd come. Trust Him as Savior. Help Him. Ask Him to help you in your Christian life. Our Father, thank You for this word. Thank You for that great passage. Bless folks now, we pray in Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.